Lord, thank you so much for your word, God. Thank you for the purity that comes through your word, God. We pray that you would open our hearts this morning, God, that you would speak directly to each one of our hearts this morning from your word, and that you would show us exactly what you want us to see this morning, God. Praise things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have a question to start us off this morning. Are any of you here this morning purists? I mean, are you the kind of people who are very particular? You want things, you know, very neat and tidy. Maybe when you have a plate of food, it bothers you, you know, if the food touches each other. Do you know, are you like that? Do you know anyone like that? I have to tell you, I don't think I'm of myself very much as a purist, but my attitude about myself changed a little bit when I came to Beirut. Because here we have some issues with purity. Did you guys notice this? Have you guys ever gone up, let's talk about air purity for a minute. Have you ever gone up to the hillsides above Beirut and looked down on the city? What do you see there? You see this kind of brown, yellow, smoggy cloud thing there? Or what about water purity? I mean, have you ever been down to the Corniche, down by the sea, and looked out at what would be a beautiful Mediterranean, but so many times there's like trash or other things floating in the water? Right? So purity is an issue for us here, and we know that purity is important, right? Well, the Bible is clear that spiritual purity is far more important for us than any other kind of purity that we can think of. In fact, the Bible has a special word for spiritual purity. That word is holiness. And so as we're looking through our text this morning, we're going to use the word holiness and purity interchangeably. Now, you may know a little bit about what the Bible says about spiritual purity, but I wanted to just start our time by looking at a couple of quick verses with you this morning. The first one is in 1 Peter 1, and it says, as God speaking to his people, he says, "Be holy, for I am holy." In Matthew 5, and I'll have to turn to these, I'll just move quickly. Matthew 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In Hebrews chapter 12, takes it a step farther, gives more explanation. It says, make every effort to be holy, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So we can see that spiritual purity is so important. But the question is, where does this purity come from? What's our source? Where can we find this purity? Well, that's where our text comes in this morning. So we're in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. It's there in your bulletin. If you want to turn to it. But the text is very clear this morning that our purity can only come through the Word of God. Now, we're going to see two ways, actually, this morning that our purity comes through the Word of God. But before we get into that, I just want to start with a little bit of context about our passage. So, if you don't know, Psalm 119 is actually the longest chapter in the entire Bible. I think it's something like 176 verses. It's just huge, right? And this chapter is all about the Word of God. Every last one of those 176 verses actually has a word that indicates the Word of God. Now, in the original language, you may know that the book of Psalms and most of the Old Testament was originally written in the ancient Hebrew language. And the ancient Hebrew language is actually 8 words that indicate the Word of God. And throughout Psalm 119, you'll actually see all 8 of these words are present, and there's at least one of them in every single verse throughout the whole psalm. So it's a beautiful passage. It's beautifully structured, and it's been said that if you really want to fall in love with the Word of God, read, study, meditate on Psalm 119. So Psalm 119 is broken down into these nice little sections or stanzas. They're each about 8 verses long. So we're in the second one of those this morning, verses 9 through 16. And just a word about the structure of our passage. We have these 8 verses, and the theme is in our first verse here, in verse 9. If you look at it, it says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word." So now after verse 9, these next 7 verses are basically just an expansion, almost like an exploration or an explanation of this theme. It just kind of expands it out from there. So we'll be jumping around a little bit in our 8 verses this morning, but I'll try to help make sure you guys know where we are as we go. We won't go through just, you know, in order as you might normally. Okay, now there are three different expectations that the psalmist has this morning in our passage. There's three of them. So the first expectation is he expects help from God. Okay, and the second expectation is he expects work from himself. The third expectation is he expects benefits or results from his pursuit of holiness. So again, it's the help he expects from God, the work he expects from himself, and the results or the benefits he expects from his pursuit of holiness. Well, let's look at the first one first. Then he expects help from God. Why do I say that? Well, we'll see in the passage he actually has several points. He's praying directly to God, asking him for things. He's asking him for help. Let's look at a few of these together. If you look in verse 10, he says, "Don't let me wander from your commands." In verse 12, he says, "Teach me your statutes." Verse 14, "I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees." In verse 12 again, it says, "Lord, may you be blessed." Or as another version says, "Praise be to you, O God." So what we're seeing here is that the psalmist is expecting that without God being involved in the picture, without God's intervention, without his help, he wouldn't have the word even revealed to him in the first place. And even if the word was there, maybe it wouldn't be opened to him. Maybe if without God teaching him, he wouldn't be able to learn the word. And without God keeping him, he would have this tendency to wander from the word, to wander away from God. And you can see that he doesn't just kind of sit there and wonder, "Oh, I hope that the Lord will help me. I don't really know if he will or not." No, right? He's asking the Lord. He's seeking the Lord very intentionally. And when he receives this help and this intervention from God, he responds and he says he blesses and he praises God. So he's attributing this help to God. So we're seeing that God expects us to ask him for help in our pursuit of holiness. We're seeing that that when we ask God, we need to expect that he will actually come and help us. And thirdly, we'll see that we need to notice that when God acts, we need to notice when he's come and helped us, because then we'll be ready to praise God, to bless God for his work in our lives. Now let's look at the second thing that the psalmist expects. The psalmist is expecting that he will have work to do in this pursuit of holiness, right? He's not just sitting and waiting on God. And the question is, we know that purity comes through the Word of God. We saw that already this morning, but the question is how? You know, if you're like me, you've got the Bible right here on your phone. You have a holy mobile, right? So, and it's kind of always with me. So, does the Bible give me purity just by being with me? I mean, surely not. If it's sitting on the shelf or just in my pocket, how much purity can I really expect through the Word from that, right? No, there must be some kind of interaction with the Word. There must be some kind of engaging with the Word. But how? What does it look like? Well, this is amazing because we have an expert right here. Psalm 119, we just said, the author of this psalm, he wrote the longest chapter in the Bible. This guy is an expert at how to receive purity from the Word. And he's going to actually show us some really practical tips. He's going to give us some of the tricks of the trade, so to speak. He's going to give us some insight into his personal and private spiritual practices. Let's look in the passage together. First of all, we see in verse 10 that he says he seeks God with all his heart, that he might not wander from his commands, right? So it's clear that one of his spiritual practices is being in the Word on a regular basis. I would encourage you to be in the Word on a daily basis. You know, I would say that if you can even just make 10 minutes a day to read the Word, or even just several times a week even, this is time very well spent. It's just a basic spiritual practice that he has, that he starts out with. But he goes on to there and he gives us some deeper ways to engage in God's Word. So if you look with me in verse 15, it says that he meditates on God's precepts and he thinks about his ways. I'll add in verse 11 as well, he treasured God's Word in his heart, or as another version has said, he's hidden God's Word in his heart. So what we see is he's not just reading God's Word, he's actually engaging in some deeper ways as well. He's thinking deeply about God's word. When you read God's word, do you think deeply about it? You might call this studying God's word. You know, today we are so blessed because there are so many tools out there. If you're studying God's word, let's imagine you're studying Psalm 119. After today, you're inspired. You want to go do it, right? All you have to do is go on the internet, go on Google, and type Psalm 119 Bible study. I guarantee you will find a ton of resources that will help you think deeply about God's word. Okay, we see that he's also meditating on God's word. What is meditating? Well, that's, again, it's a kind of dwelling on something in your heart. You're turning it over and over again in your mind. You're considering it from different angles or ideas, that you're really thinking more deeply about it. And finally, we see that he's memorizing God's word. Why do I say memorizing? Well, because he said that God's word is hidden in his heart. How can you have something hidden in your heart? How can you know it by heart unless it's memorized, right? Now, you might tell me, now, Jason, come on. We're in the 21st century here. You really expect me to be memorizing things? Well, yes, but not me. It's the scripture who's telling us to memorize things. But let me just give you a little bit of explanation for why this is important. When we memorize things, there's different ways to memorize. Now, maybe some of you have children and they're memorizing the multiplication tables, right? So 2 times 2 equals 4, this kind of thing, right? This kind of memorizing is for knowledge. Actually, I don't even know if they do that anymore. They probably just tell them, you have your phone with you, just put it there. Right. But this is for knowledge. But the kind of memorizing we're doing with the word is not only for knowledge. It's for spiritual benefits. Okay? So that we'll see that at times when we need the word, it's there in our hearts already. And I'll explain a little bit more practically about this in a few moments. But let me look at one final spiritual practice I see here in the psalm. I see that he, in verse 13, he says, he's proclaimed all of God's judgments with his lips. Now, this is an unusual one. I don't know if you've tried this before, but he's proclaiming the word of God to other people out loud. Okay? So I think there are some practical examples of that, too, that we'll get to in a few moments. But first, let's talk about the final expectation that he has. The final expectation that the psalmist has is that there will be results, that there will be benefits from this pursuit of holiness he has, right? Now, of course, he expects that if he's pursuing holiness, that he actually will be able to grow in holiness. We know that already. He said it in verse 9. He says it in verse 11, that I might not sin against you. He repeats it in verse 16, I will not forget your word. But also, just a little bit closer, he's actually expecting something much more than that. He's expecting a whole nother level of benefit here. And it seems that he receives it. We already saw in verse 12, for example, he says he's blessing and praising God because God's working in his life, that he's so grateful for that. He's blessing God in response. But verse 16, he adds in that he's delighting in God's statutes. And presumably, he's delighting in God himself. That's really powerful. I would like to delight in God more. In verse 14, he takes it a step farther and he says that he rejoices in following God's word as much as in all riches. Now, I don't know if you guys are in the habit of watching the lottery winners on TV. Do you ever see this? You know, there's these giant lottery things that people try to win, right? And then maybe it's $100 million. Sounds like great riches to me. So, have you ever seen when someone wins one of these things? I mean, they just go crazy, right? And maybe they do car wheels, you know, across the stage. They're jumping up and down, you know. Maybe they're throwing some money in the air, right? And this is some really exciting stuff. This is how the psalmist says he experiences his pursuit of holiness with God. So what does all this mean for us today? Well, let me ask you, where are you with regard to purity this morning? Do you even care about the level of purity in your life? Are you seeking to keep your way pure like the psalmist? Maybe you're a person who's given up on purity a little bit. You know, keeping your way pure is hard work, and you know, you may have started out trying to keep pure, but now maybe you've let things slide a little bit. Or maybe you've never really valued purity at all. I mean, after all, this world doesn't seem to value purity very much. Doesn't seem like purity will get you very far, and if you have Jesus, I mean, does purity really matter? Well, If that's where you're at this morning, I hope you'll hear me and say that purity does matter. And I want to ask you, just for starters, do you believe what the scripture is telling us this morning about how purity matters? Do you believe that it's possible this morning, like the psalmist describes? And let's go a step further. Do you want these benefits that he's describing here? Do you want this delight, this praise, this rejoicing in your life? My encouragement to you, if you're in this place, is that God wants to tell you it's not too late. That now is the perfect time. I think God is speaking to you this morning, telling you now is the time to try again, to renew your efforts. And maybe it would be good for you to just start with a simple spiritual practice. Some of the ones we've talked about this morning. Maybe you just need to start with going to God and asking him to help you in your pursuit of holiness. Recognizing you can't do this on your own. Recognizing that you need him. And just start, very simply, just start reading the Bible. Again, just regularly reading the Bible. That would be a great place to start. Just one small word about this. I do want to give you a bit of warning. If you feel like you're in the place where you don't care about your level of purity, I want to encourage you, don't stay in that place. That's a really dangerous place to be. And Scripture tells us that when we have Christ in our lives, we're a new creation in him. And we have these new desires for purity. So if you find that you're not desiring that, really seek God on this point. But maybe you're in a different place this morning when it comes to purity. Maybe you're really battling for purity. You're working hard at purity, but you're not sure that you're winning that battle. Maybe you see this in your life. You have struggles in certain areas. Maybe, for example, it's a thought life issue with lust. Or maybe it's a broken relationships issue. Maybe there's anger involved. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's a dishonoring relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend, something like this. Or maybe you're just looking for happiness in the wrong places. Maybe you're turning to alcohol or partying. Maybe just even to take the edge off life a little bit. You're just kind of going to alcohol. There could be a lot of different ways this could look. But you're struggling in purity, but there's that one or two areas that are really difficult for you. Well, my encouragement to you this morning is that there is hope. We've seen that the psalmist is growing in his pursuit of purity and that God is actually moving in his life. I want to encourage you, maybe if you're in this place this morning, you've done some of the simple spiritual practices. You've asked God, you've told him you can't do it on your own, but maybe you haven't gone beyond just that, maybe some basic Bible reading. Maybe you need to take it a step farther. Maybe you need to study the Word of God. Maybe you need to meditate on it. Or possibly it might help you to memorize the Word. So let me explain a little bit about what this could look like. I'll take a couple examples from my own life. I've had real struggles, especially in the past, with things like purity and my thoughts and lust. And you know, there's this thing where we all know certain parts of the Bible by heart, probably. If you've been around the Bible very long, you probably know things like you might know the first verse in the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay, that's a great verse, and that's helpful. But that may not be the most relevant verse when it comes to a thought life problem, right? You're walking down the road, and there's a sudden, you know, problem with purity and the thought life, and in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that may not be the most helpful verse. So it may be more helpful to choose a verse that's a little more relevant to your struggle. For example, you might choose something from Proverbs that says, "My son, do not go to the house of the wayward woman. For her lips appear to be as sweet as honey, but in the end she will reduce you to a loaf of bread." Right? This might be a more relevant verse to the struggle. Well, let's take anger, for example. That's another area for me that I have trouble with sometimes. So again, you're in the moment of anger and you say, "I'm so angry, I'm frustrated," right? Well, maybe a more relevant verse for you would be the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Or maybe it's the wise man does not give full vent to his anger, right? So when I'm in the moment of anger, this is so frustrating, I'm angry. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The wise man does not give full vent to his anger, right? This can be really helpful in the moment. This is where memorizing scripture can play a stronger role. And the second thing, if you're really battling for purity in your life, I want to encourage you, look for God's work in your life. If you're really turning to Him and handing this to Him and trying in your walk with God, look for the ways that He is actually moving in your life. And this will encourage you. This will give you motivation as you see how God's moving in your life. And finally, if you're in that place, look for progress, not perfection. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but we will make progress as we're pursuing these things with the Lord. Okay, the next place, maybe there's a different place for you. Maybe you're struggling with purity in the spoken word. I'm thinking of things like lying or cheating or gossip, right? I mean, these are serious issues here in Lebanon, as they are in most places in the world. So in this case, the spiritual practice for you might be proclaiming the word of God to others. Well, how could this look? Well, for example, maybe you're sitting with a friend one day and they're telling you some gossip about another person you know. Or maybe you're at work and there's a temptation from a person there and they say, oh, we don't have to be completely honest in that report to the boss. I mean, is he going to know the difference? But we don't have to go back exactly on time from lunch. I mean, we can stretch out the lunch break a little bit farther, right? Well, in this case, you have an opportunity to proclaim the word of God to someone else. How could that look? Well, there's a couple of ideas. First of all, do your coworkers know that you are someone who truly follows Christ? And not just a person who's maybe a Christian in name only, or something like this. Do they know that about you, your friends and coworkers? Secondly, do they know that you're really seeking to honor God's word in your life? That this is something important to you, that you have a pursuit of holiness that you're going after? If not, this would be a good time to tell them. And thirdly, there's an opportunity to proclaim the word of God to them, because if you know a passage, as we already said, that deals with this issue, you can tell it to them. You can share it with them, this passage that is motivating to you, and you can tell them why it's motivating to you, why it's compelling. Again, the key here is doing this in love and grace. But just a small warning about this. These are not small sins. These are serious things that we want to take seriously before the Lord. But finally, there's another place I could imagine someone being this morning, and that is maybe they have a skewed view of purity. Maybe either they've misapplied purity themselves, or they've seen other people do that, right? And so for this issue, I want us to notice what the text doesn't say about purity. The text doesn't say that when you see someone who's different than you and maybe seems impure, then you should judge them or avoid them or stay away, right? The text doesn't say that. That's not a way to stay pure. Now, this happens everywhere in the world, but here I would say we have issues such as race and religion that play into this, right? We notice that many times people look at a certain race, they know someone from another place. Maybe they're from China, from Africa, from America, from Egypt, any place, and they think that race isn't the kind of people I like to be around. Well, let me encourage you this morning that no race is more pure before God than another race. And sometimes we have issues with religion, but actually I want to encourage us this morning, as a church, like Marwan said, we really value doctrine, right? We value theology. We value teaching from God's word. Well, as important as theology is another area where we can get purity wrong. I mean, have you ever gone on Facebook and see what people say out there to people they disagree with, right? It's a war of words out there sometimes. And a lot of times it's between people who are both following God and actually trying to live out a Christian life. Brothers and sisters, this should not be so. Because I want to remind us that in this case, maybe what we need is a broader sweep of the Bible. Maybe we need to look at the broader message of the Bible. We need to remember some of the big points. The big points of things like, what is Jesus, one of his biggest commands is to love one another. What is one of Jesus' biggest prayers? That we would have unity with one another as his believers. And what is one of Jesus' biggest signs in the scripture that we are following him? Our love for one another. So of course theology is important, and of course it's worth discussing it with people and having meaningful conversations. But again, the idea is we need love and we need grace in these conversations. And we can't buy into these false views of purity where I have the pure theology and so I need to separate myself out from others. Well, for our final point this morning, I want to just remind us of where we began this morning. God is pure, And he requires purity of us. And there's only one source for that purity, and that source is the Word of God. And now we said this morning there's actually two ways that purity comes through the Word of God. And we've seen the first way this morning. We've seen that purity comes through the Bible as the Word of God, right? But there's actually another Word of God that gives us an even more significant purity, and that is Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Now, to understand this, we need to understand that our souls are actually impure before God. And in the same way, if you have a white shirt that maybe has a huge black ink stain on it, and you can't just wash it out with a little scrubbing, in the same way, our souls have this deep ink spot in them that cannot be gotten out with anything other than a powerful spiritual bleach. And while you may be able to go down to the store and get a regular bleach for a t-shirt, you cannot get a spiritual bleach anywhere else other than Jesus Christ, who's the Word of God. It's His death on the cross that enables us to be pure before God. So, in fact, there's a passage in Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible, chapter 7. And it describes this people who are with God in eternity. And it says, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, who is Jesus. So, I want to try and tie this back together. How do these two forms of purity relate with one another? Well, there's a very practical example from my own life. As you probably noticed, I'm not Lebanese, but I'm living here in Lebanon. Now, imagine I was talking to you. I'm talking to my good friend Mahmoud over here. He's Lebanese. So, Mahmoud, I want to be Lebanese. What should I do? Do I just go and do I learn the Lebanese customs? Do I learn the language? Do I follow the laws? Will that make me Lebanese? Right? Well, of course, Mahmoud is going to say, no, of course not. That doesn't make you Lebanese. Right? No, but there is actually a way to become Lebanese. You can go through a legal process and go to the right person with the authority. It's usually the president or one of his representatives, and they can sign a document that would make me a Lebanese citizen, which would be great. I would love that. So now let's imagine I have that citizenship this morning. I'm a Lebanese citizen. I became one overnight. It's wonderful. Well, so that's, I made that transition. Now what? Well, do I still need to learn the Lebanese customs? Do I need to learn the Lebanese laws? Do I need to follow them? Do I need to learn the language? Well, yes, I should do that, right? I'm going to live in Lebanon. I should know these things. Ah, but do you see the difference? Because while following those laws could never get me into the kingdom of Lebanon, so to speak, they could never make me a Lebanese citizen, that not following them after I'm a citizen could never get me out of my Lebanese citizenship. Do you know how I know that this morning? Because actually, sadly, there are many people in Lebanon who do break the Lebanese laws, although they're citizens. And there may be some of them are sitting in Lebanese prison right now. But do you know what none of them is worried about, as far as I know? Losing their citizenship, right? Because you don't lose your citizenship by not following laws. So this is the exact parallel for us this morning. That this pursuit of purity we've been talking about, this following of God's word and his laws, is not something that can get us into the kingdom. Only Christ, the true word of God, can do that. But once we are in the kingdom, it is incredibly important to follow God's laws. It's incredibly important to pursue purity because it affects our life. It affects how our life will go. There are consequences when you sin in life. Just like in the Lebanon example, if I break the laws, I may go to Lebanese prison. I don't want to be there. I don't know about you. It doesn't sound like a nice place, right? So there are consequences when we break God's laws. But there's one consequence that will never happen. You would never be out of the kingdom at that point. So this is my encouragement for all of you this morning, that our pursuit of purity, our pursuit of holiness matters to God. And if you are someone who hasn't made that decision this morning to accept Christ's free gift on the cross, his blood for us that can make our robes white, so to speak, that can make our souls pure before God, I really beg you, I encourage you to make that decision. And if you want to know more about that, then I just encourage you to come and speak with me afterwards or with Pastor Marwan or really anyone here this morning who's a member, because this is what our community here is passionate about. We're passionate about being people that although we have a deeply stained and impure soul, that we have purity through the Word of God, through Jesus Christ, and that we can now pursue holiness in him and see this rejoicing and this delighting in our relationship with God that we never had before. Let me pray to close this morning. Lord, I thank you, God, again for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word that makes us pure, God. I pray that you would help each one of us this morning, God, to see exactly where you would have us grow in our pursuit of holiness this morning, God. Any changes that you would have us make. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.